Everyone, hi, hello. Welcome to another exciting episode of Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. I am sitting here in the pod cabin with my husband, Daniel. Hello.
Hello, and sorry.
For what?
Well, I mean, aren't they getting an ass full of me these days?
They're getting a lot of you. I like it, though. I feel like we're really getting somewhere. Yeah. We're finding out.
It's a journey.
Yeah, we've got a new segment. I don't think we have a jingle yet, but when we do, just you wait. In fact, let's throw it to the audience. What should we call the segment where Daniel explores or discusses or explains or whatever all his Taylor Swift thoughts? Should it be Talkin' Taylor? Except I worry that that's like talking you two.
No, talking.
Should it be Taylor Talk? Should it be Swifty Chat? Those are the three I've thought of so far. So let us know all the ways to get in touch with us, ariymbfshow@gmail.com, or you can call 323-553-2331, etc. There was supposed to be a guest today. However, he had to reschedule, and I'm having trouble fitting him in on the reschedule dates because it's weekends. I don't know. It's going to happen. Don't you worry.
Is it Howard Stern?
It was Howard Stern. Yes. Howard Stern was supposed to be here in the pod cabin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a surprise, right? I don't even know that he does. Okay, don't tell anyone, you guys. Yeah. I don't even think he does podcasts that often, but he said, I want to do that one. I want to do Alice from Rosen's Your New Best Friend.
Man.
Number one
what a
comedy
get,
podcast at one point. Well, I love her independent spirit and her vibe.
You're kind of the next Howard Stern, they've said.
That's right. They have. I've said that.
That's right.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because I don't give a fuck.
You don't.
I call it like it is. I'm a thorn in the sides of the higher ups. And I have frizzy hair naturally.
That's right.
So anyway, yeah. Do we want to find out how they feel about the excess amount of Daniel? I don't think so. I feel like that's opening it up too much. Do you want to know?
I mean, I guess I don't know. You know, it's like you always want to know if it's good.
Right. If you guys have something positive to say about this situation, let us know. Speaking of positive things to say or negative, please keep those Apple Podcast reviews coming. It helps out the show. Rate, review, subscribe. Do all the things. Tell your friends. I'm on Patreon. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen is where you go for that. You can get, you know, my unfettered, unfiltered thoughts. I shared a story recently about a shady motherfucking dermatologist. More like motherfucking shady dermatologist. It's possible there was a technical glitch. More likely, I think they deleted some photos because they wanted to hide their shoddy work. I've given away too much. But anyway, that's one of the friend zones. And then also a lot of like ask me anything. And then also friend zones with all your favorite people that come on the show, Howard Stern and such.
Like if you've looked at pictures of Allison lately and thought, oh my God, it's the dermatologist's shitty work that you're looking at.
No, but for real, Daniel, do you notice anything? This is not the dermatologist's fault.
Uh-huh.
Do you notice anything notable about my face today? I would have brought it up in the house. One of our children already did.
Well, your face is half covered by microphones and glasses.
Okay.
Right now.
I will remove the, you make it sound like I'm wearing like a old timey disguise.
One of those, what is it? Groucho Marx
yes.
glasses.
Okay. I'm taking off the glasses and I'll move the microphone away. And okay. If you notice anything about my face, and again, I was going to bring it up in the house as sort of a disclaimer, but to anyone who has to lay their eyes upon this face.
Yes.
But then I decided, no, I'm going to bring it up on the show just to see if you even notice.
Okay.
Take it in.
Like a lot more wrinkles?
No. But thank you. Anything else?
Just a pallor, like an ashen...
No, that was
an unhealthy glow?
I don't know. What are you seeing?
What do you mean, what am I seeing?
Just comment on what you're seeing. I guess you're not noticing anything different.
Move away from the mic. What part of your face am I supposed to be looking at? Your upper lip looks like it's not moving. Is that it?
What does it normally do? No, that's not it.
Okay, move again.
You're looking on a granular level. Look at more of like an overall. Okay. It's something that should, if you see it, it should jump out at you. But the fact that you're not seeing it is actually good.
Let me see. You have new wrinkles on your forehead.
Where?
Like above your eyebrow.
Oh no, that's actually not what I wanted to point. What I am referring to, but I wondered. Yeah, I do have. It's like a whole. That's a whole thing. These they call them rainbow wrinkles or rainbows or something. How noticeable are those to you? It took you a while to see them. That's not what I was trying to draw your attention to.
Yeah.
How noticeable are they?
Pretty noticeable to me.
Are you fucking serious?
Well, I wouldn't have noticed it if I wasn't scrutinizing your face looking for something.
Should we get Elliot out here? If we get Elliot out here,
just tell me
to say what it is. We're gonna have
your eyebrows are coming off. Is that it?
My face is orange.
It doesn't look orange. It just looks, honey. Your face is normally like a yellowish color.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, actually, your skin looks healthy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm using a tinted sunscreen, but I feel like I'm in orange face.
No,
very dark. It's not. Elliot said, why is your skin
but that's
like
only
orange?
But he's used to seeing your face. So he's used to your skin being a particular color.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different by a couple shades in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
And his brain interprets it as, because it's a contrast, is way more than what it would look like to somebody who's not used to seeing your skin normally. Does that make sense?
Not really.
So if you were looking at something that was like a particular, let's say yellow.
Okay.
And then and then I changed it a little bit, gave it a little bit of red.
Mm-hmm.
So I made it a little more orange, just a touch.
Right. I wouldn't notice
someone who is used to seeing the yellow would notice it immediately.
Right.
And go, wow, that's so orange. Uh-huh. But someone who isn't would still see yellow.
So you're,
because it's still far enough in the yellow.
So you just don't look at my face very often?
Well, no, but you wear makeup. Yeah. So I just thought like, oh, this is a good color for you. You look healthy.
Thank you. Well, anyway, yeah, I used a sample of tinted sunscreen that's a little different. And then I also have three stripes on my arm because I was like, I got to see how dark some of these go. Orange. You like this?
Yeah, I think you look good.
Well, thank you very much.
Except for those wrinkles.
Yeah,
forehead.
I know. I could get them relaxed. I could straighten my wrinkles.
Well, but your eyebrows are a defining feature of your look.
Well, so if I relax those wrinkles, then my eyebrow is going to go lower. And then I'll have like a blank orange face.
If your eyebrows become immobile by Botox,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of like...
my thing?
You know, it's like a comedian not being able to talk. Like, that's part of your thing.
My eyebrows.
It's a huge part of what people like about you.
Thank you.
It's like 30%.
Right, I know. They call me eyebrows in the biz.
You do have expressive eyebrows.
They're too expressive, honestly.
No.
One of them is like a ping pong ball.
Well,
a thing that bounces up and down.
They can occasionally take a
life of their own.
It's like a dog who smells chicken at the, you know, and is like bouncing around the kitchen.
Do my eyebrows ever wake you up at night?
Nothing wakes me up at night.
I know. I'm so lucky.
So I wouldn't fuck with your eyebrows. Those wrinkles, you know, whatever. I can just Photoshop them out.
It's a whole thing.
Do you think when everyone's got the vision goggles on and everyone's walking around with augmented reality, that you'll be able to Photoshop your face in real life in such a way that when people look at you...
That is the dream, Daniel, because I am so tired of putting on makeup and taking off makeup and putting on makeup and taking off makeup. Now, the truth is when I'm in the middle of putting on makeup, I'm like, this is sort of peaceful and I don't hate this. But... it takes a while for me to turn that corner. So for the most part, it just feels like a royal pain in the ass. And if I could just like apply a filter in real life,
yeah,
that would be the dream.
That'd be amazing.
Chelsea Peretti, whom I love, you know, she brought back her podcast and she
Do yourself a favor. Watch her stand-up special on Netflix. One of the funniest. Go ahead.
She put up a clip recently, and in the clip, she's like, I'm in full hair and makeup because last week I saw myself and I've been scared. I'm not doing it justice, but like I've been scared straight. She's been scared straight because she didn't do her hair and makeup for one of them and like never again.
Can't do that anymore in today's day and age of influencers.
Because every now and then I decide this whole thing is ridiculous. I shouldn't have to like put on this level of, you know, I shouldn't have to gild the lily, as it were. And then I see a picture or something. Okay, here's what it is. Sometimes I'll see a picture of myself in makeup and all that, and I'll think, I look terrible. And what's the point if I'm going to do all that and then I still don't like how it looks? But if I see a picture of myself without any makeup, I 100% of the time, I'm like, oh, I don't
know. But you'll often look at a picture of yourself where you look good and say you look terrible. So I don't know
that
you're a proper judge.
Thank you.
The arms race has begun with the influencer economy. Everybody, you know, you have to keep up with everybody posting their shit, looking as good as they possibly can all the time.
I got to do some new photos or something. All my photos are pretty old.
Yeah, you look great. We need to get some good photographs taken. You know, you look at someone
That's
like Stassi, who every 3 months has a professional photographer come out, take
but
pictures of her whole family.
But even someone like Nicole, like frequent guest Nicole Thurman, whom I love, I feel like she does photo shoots of herself like all the time.
Yeah.
But see, even that, that feels like a whole thing. Because you got to get a makeup artist, and then you got to choose your clothes, and then...
That's your problem.
I know.
Everything runs up against this wall of laziness.
Can we give it some other name?
Let's see. A wall of slothitude?
I mean, I think the noun would be sloth, but laziness I don't think captures it. It's more than that. It's inertia.
Do you think you're depressed?
I mean, I don't, but my reluctance to do things makes it seem like I am, but I don't think I am.
Because I
think I'm technically still grieving.
Yeah. Wouldn't you call that just situational depression? It's not like...
Sure, but I don't walk around each day feeling really sad.
I have lately found myself really struggling with doing anything.
Can I say something and then we'll circle back to you?
What?
I love you, sweetie. Here's the thing. If someone said, you need to record a podcast about XYZ with so-and-so, that would be no problem. I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that. Or if someone said, like, you need to write a Substack or a Patreon post about blah, 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 that would not be a problem. Or like, you need to chaperone your kids. All these things are things I'm comfortable doing. Choosing a makeup artist, choosing clothes, posing for photos, that is outside my wheelhouse. Sorry to use a phrase that is gross.
It's nautical.
Is that nautical?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that where the steering wheel is?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that. Yeah, it's like that makes me feel self-conscious and it makes me feel anxious and a little bit uncomfortable. So that's where my reluctance to do that comes from. My reluctance to do all the other things, I imagine, have a tinge of a ripple of that running through them as well. It's like something that makes me nervous or something. And there was a time in my life, and maybe this is how it is for everyone, like in my 20s, where I felt so, I was so motivated by the need to achieve and the need to prove people wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was like a fire under me, this need to prove people wrong. So that pushed me to get outside my comfort zone over and over and over and over again.
Right.
You know, like calling, I don't think I called them up, but I would have no compunction about calling up a magazine and just telling them who I am and asking if I can write for them. I sent my clips to all the top mag, you know, and it worked, but I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. I think I'm I don't have that like dumb, youthful hopefulness and eagerness.
Well, I would, to be fair to you, which I generally don't like to do.
Yeah, no, I know.
You do have a lot on your plate. Like, it's not like younger. When you were younger, it's like, what the fuck else are you going to do?
And also, we didn't have phones then. Yeah. So that freed up a number of hours. There was no social media. I remember my friend and I trying to find out. She claimed that Angela from Mr. Belvedere was the same actress that was in something else, but I can't remember. And so we went, we had Ethernet, which was a big deal.
Yeah.
And we tried to find the answer to this. And I mean, that was like a whole afternoon of surfing the web for Mr. Belvedere fan pages. That was about the extent of our internet compulsions.
Right. When you're young, there's no, there's nothing stopping you from just working as hard as you want on a particular thing or just do it, you know. But now you have kids and like, I don't know. It's like, we don't just have kids. We have kids where there's a lot of things going on.
Well, yeah. I mean, we haven't talked that much about that.
Should we? I don't think
we should. We can talk a little bit because I've said before that, you know, Owen in some ways is very advanced and then in some ways is a little bit delayed. And so he's starting kindergarten next year and we want to make sure that he has the right supports and is set up for success. And all of that is like a full-time job.
It really is. There's a lot of things happening where it's just requiring a lot of, you know, I give you shit, but it's like you're managing a lot of things right now. And that the idea of like taking on some other project.
Some career thing,
it's just,
yeah.
Like, fuck, with that extra time, I want to fucking relax. Like, that's how it is for me.
Wait, you're saying that's how it is for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's how it is for me. It's like when I think of taking on a new thing, I think, oh, I could do that.
If I had
I could, if I have time, which I don't, I could spend that time, you know, checking Instagram or taking a nap.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Like my plate is just very full right now.
You need a break. Like, yeah. It's
all this pressure to get new photos. Everyone, get off my back.
I know.
I felt like I said that in a real, like, Invisalign forward way. Did it sound like that? Like, get off my back.
Are you wearing them?
On the top. I've taken them out on the bottom because I realized that that's the lisp maker.
Yeah.
The lisp maker. It makes it sound like Mentos. Freshwick. Mm-hmm. I want to hear a call. We have a lot of calls.
Sure.
But then I need to, okay, just as a little tease. Daniel came in this morning and told me that he'd had a Taylor Swift epiphany.
I had a revelation.
But he wanted to save it for the show. And that worked well for me.
It's thin. Why waste it before the show?
It's thin. I thought it was
thick. It's the kind of
T-H-I-C-C.
Thing. I mean, it's the kind of thing where if we had talked about it before, you lose any. I don't know that you could maintain interest enough the second time around.
Oh. Is this like Swifty only content?
No.
All right. Anyway.
Good.
Hi.
I love how jubilant he is.
Is Jack driving around in Raleigh, North Carolina? I really just wanted to check in on.
I'm sorry. I said jubilant, but I think it's jubilant.
Great.
I think I'm confusing jubilant and ebullient. I'm sorry. I had to say that because otherwise I wouldn't be able to listen to him. Let's start over. Sorry, Jack. You deserve better.
Hi, this is Jack. Driving around in Raleigh, North Carolina. I really just wanted to check in on some old Just Me or Everyone that you used to do. I've been listening for a while, and I guess, like, do you still face the same way in the shower and stuff like that? Oh shit.
This is a joke.
This is fake.
Oh,
I mean, God hope that's fake. I bet it is.
I mean, it's fake.
It's got to be.
Well, Jack, if it wasn't fake, I'm sorry I laughed.
R.I.P., yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah, I still face the same way in the shower. This is one of the very early debates on the show.
This whether is pre-me.
Pre-you, that's right. Whether you face the water. Some people, I think Matt Fondelier is one of them, only ever had his back to the shower head, and then to rinse the front of him, he would just lean back, which is insane. So we coined the term a traveler for if you're like someone like me, where sometimes I face the stream, sometimes I have my back to the stream. Mm-hmm. How do you shower?
I guess I'm a traveler.
Most of us are.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's super interesting. I think that it's the kind of thing that...
Daniel... I can tell that you're fading out right now. This is, listen.
I'm not going to sit here.
It's my show.
I'm not going to.
I find this interesting.
Okay.
People who listen to the show
That's great.
Find this interesting. Your assertion that this is boring.
It's
get
boring
the fuck out.
To me.
Yeah, that's, but a okay, lot of
but
stuff.
That's all I'm saying. But if you love it, that's great.
You think talking about food is boring. You think talking about cysts.
Anything
is
medical.
Boring.
Yeah.
How do you feel about talking about picking scabs on your scalp?
But honey, it's boring to me.
Right. Well, you have terrible taste.
That's fine. If you're listening and you love that stuff, that's great. I'm not telling anybody that they should think it's boring. I personally am not interested
in discussing showering.
Well, I don't think it's interesting which way I face. Why would I care which way you face?
Wow. All right, let's move on to another
classic. Here's something interesting about you. You don't like a rain shower.
Yeah, I don't.
Now, why
don't.
Is that?
I don't need water coming
I'm
at me
bored.
From all directions.
That's, I'm already bored.
And it doesn't, I feel like it doesn't, I like it, the idea of it, but I feel like it, I don't need like a million.
What about just one? What if it's just the one coming from straight above?
I don't need a million. What are they called?
Nozzles.
I don't need a million.
Nozettes, the little one.
Nozitos. I don't need a million gentle Nozitos. I need like a strong stream.
Do you prefer those smaller, like, psh?
Yeah, because I feel like it gets the shampoo out of my hair.
Yeah.
I like it to be sort
you
of...
You want it to do the job.
I like the shower head to be in the traditional shower head position, where it kind of like arcs towards me. I don't like it to drop straight on me because I feel like in a rain shower...
Generally,
either,
the pressure is low on those. That's what I don't like about
but if it's
your
straight,
average rain shower.
And if it's right above you, then either it's like pouring onto your whole body, including your hair and dripping under your face and stuff... Or you're outside of it completely and freezing your buns off. I like a typical shower where you can stand and you can have it on your chest and like it's warming up your body, but your face isn't getting wet. I think that's what it is.
I like to get my head wet, and sometimes the side ones, I'm too tall for those. So
I
that's
see.
Why I like a rain shower that has pressure. Have you seen those showers where you turn it on and you're getting multiple angles, like your whole body? So they'll be like... The one that's coming from above, mm-hmm. but then there'll be like two on each side hitting you from the side.
I think I've probably seen that. Does that appeal to you?
I don't know. I would like to give it a go.
We have, not to brag, we have two shower heads in our shower.
I use both.
We have one in typical shower position and then one in rain shower position. And you can make it so the water comes out of both.
Yeah, the one coming from above is for my head and face. And the one from behind is for my body.
So when you're in the shower, you have both on.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'll get in and I'll turn it on and the water will come out of both. And I'll be like, that motherfucker.
The shower.
Hang on. He forgot to switch it. And then I think, why do I have the right to dictate the default position? But you usually put it back to
I always put
like
it back at the
I
end.
Know. Thank you.
I know. For God's sake.
I'm just wondering why. Because it's like over. It's above and beyond. But please don't stop.
No, I do that because it... if you leave it on the setting where I use it, which is that like both of them, you can do both or either.
Right.
and I have it like right in the middle where it's both. If I turn off the water, then it's going to drip.
Yeah.
It still drips from the top one. Mm. But if I turn off the water and then I put it on the side one, the top one doesn't drip. I don't want to be tripped on.
So this to you is fascinating shower conversation?
Oh, no, no, no. But I'm just going with it. Here's the thing about the one I described where it's hitting you from four nozzles.
A quad. A quadzel.
The quad. It's actually like a quin angle.
Wow.
Is that how you would
say? Or as Owen would say regarding a hexagon, a sixagon.
Yeah. I would want it to clean me five times faster.
Right.
So it's like there's this weird feeling of like it's almost like a Jetsons situation where it's like, oh, okay, I walk into this and it's like, and then you're done.
Yeah. My friend Jeannie, God, she would be so, she lives in Spain. She would be so good on this show because she loves to talk about stuff like this. She wondered if we had an extra set of hands, would we get twice as much done?
No, because
like specifically with grooming, because one hand could be blowing dry, one hand putting on makeup.
I mean,
one
maybe.
Hand. Yeah.
Maybe.
Like what would be the breakdown? What were you going to say?
You'd probably use the extra hands just to play with yourself.
like
to scratch your butt and stuff.
Yes.
It's not like you'd be more productive. You would just like be feeding M&Ms into your mouth with the other hands. I mean, these are people we're talking about.
I'd just be like, what if my extra hands were just posting on Instagram or something? And then also,
that's the dream.
Regarding extra hands, where do you envision them being?
Well, you Shiva style, like right under your normal hands, like a spider.
That's kind of how I pictured it, I think. But then she pictured it like coming out of your shoulder blades, like an extra arm and hand coming out of your shoulder blades.
Sure. I don't know that really matters. We'll get into the mechanics of it later.
All right, one more call, and then I want to hear this Taylor stuff.
Hey, Allison and Dan. All right, it's Darren from upstate New York. I have It's Me or Anyone.
Close.
The show Cagney and Lacey from the 1980s. Cagney looked more like a Lacey, and Lacey looked more like a Cagney.
Ooh.
I was wondering if other people felt the same way. Mm-hmm. I know this is a very important topic. All right, it's Darren from upstate New York.
Sorry, that wasn't supposed to happen. I got to look them up.
Cagney, I mean, the problem is that I don't remember which was Cagney and which was Lacey.
Yeah, I don't either, but we'll find out. Okay, Lacey was Tyne Daly. So she had the dark hair. And then Sharon Gless
was Cagney.
Oh, my God, 100%. Lacey has to be blonde.
Maybe that was the trick to its success, though. You know, like everybody had that feeling of something's up.
Like that show, was it Sisters, where they all had boy names? It was like Georgie and... Do you remember that show?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. But anyway, so it's Mary Beth Lacey. These are their last names, but still. Yeah.
Mary Beth Lacey and Cagney Joe Sapuliak.
I'm trying to find out what her name was.
Previously on Cagney and Lacey.
Report on your father's death.
We don't have to hear it, though.
No, we don't, but we're going
to. Understand how he couldn't help himself.
Paramedics said he was dead when they got there. He said, that's it.
Wait a minute.
Were they detectives?
About Cagney and Lacey. Meg Foster. What? I thought it was Sharon Gless. It is Sharon Gless. So his... Okay. Well, this... I'm sorry. This is wrong. That's wrong. It's... Well. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm incensed. Okay. Yes, the show is about two New York City police detectives who lead very different lives. Christine Cagney, Sharon Gless, is a career-minded single woman. That's a danger to everything we've built. While Mary Beth Lacey, Tyne Daly, is a married working mother. Oh, see, that's a little bit different than I expected. Because usually the brunette is the one who's like, gonna crush the men and get ahead, and the blonde I think is at home. This anyway, you know, I've literally never seen an episode. Huh. Loretta Swit of MASH played the role of Christine Cagney in the original television movie. There was a TV movie, boy. Anyway, Darren, excellent work. Thank you.
Hey, it's Todd Perry from Allison Rosen's other podcast, Allison and Todd After Hours. And I think the big reason why younger people really love our show is because, let's face it, we're pretty hip.
I'll tell you exactly what I read. I don't need to hide it. I was reading a book called The Menopause Manifesto.
To hear more, check out patreon.com/AllisonandTodd. Patreon.com/AllisonandTodd.
What?
Let's hear it. Let's hear this epiphany that you had this morning. Do you mind if I look at my phone while you talk?
No.
I'm just kidding.
How dare you?
I was kidding.
You're so mean to me.
Man.
That's what people keep. They always DM me. They're like, she's too mean to you. And I say, thank you for your support.
Have you received one DM? Have you received one DM?
You want proof now?
Yeah.
I told them it was in confidence. I don't want to give up my sources.
So you haven't received one, have you?
It's somewhere between zero and
one.
Somewhere between zero and one.
Right. So not yet one, but also possibly not really zero either.
It's more like a lot of people have almost DM'd me about it.
You're going off vibes.
Yeah. I can read between the lines.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, go ahead. A lot of people did DM me to say that they are loving the Daniel Swift Taylor. Well, the Daniel Swift.
Ooh,
the
Daniel Swift.
Daniel Kwan's Taylor Swift stuff.
Well, first, I would just want to give an update. A week has gone by since I gave my thoughts about Taylor Swift last week. Mm. And it is my opinion now at this point.
Are you going to time
Friday,
stamp it?
Friday, May 3rd, 2024, 4:25 p.m., that the Tortured Poets Department, if you include the second album, is her best album. It is her best album. And
wait, is this the epiphany?
No.
Okay.
I'm starting with this.
Well, starting strong, there's an epiphany coming after this.
No, I know.
What an embarrassment of riches.
What I've said in the past, I don't think I would put on her albums. It's not because they're not good. It's just that when I listen to those albums, they're good, and they contain great songs in them, but they're not compelling to me. Mm-hmm. But Tortured Poets, I feel like she has come into her own as a songwriter, and it actually legitimately is an album that I want to listen to. Which is weird for me because I think it's like she's matured and is putting all of these things that were like strengths, but not all at the same time in her music, she's like putting it together as an artist. It's neat to see that. It's neat to see an artist come into their own. Don't give me that. Don't give me that.
I've just given you my orange face.
Well, you're going to feel bad when I tell you
your epiphany,
what my epiphany was about Taylor.
Does it have to do with me?
No.
Okay. What? How can?
Well, in the same sense, everything has to do with you. To you, it does. So,
because if you were going to say, like, I realized, here's what I want, here's what I thought might happen, and it was going to be exciting for me. If you're going to say, like, I realized I really like her because in some way she reminds me of you, then I would have been like, oh God, I do feel bad.
Well,
for mocking
like
you.
Her, I like her in a. No one's going to believe this.
Is it
Patricia? I respect her as an artist. She should be respected as an artist. She is a great songwriter. She is. Like, you know where I was a year ago. I was I was almost a hater. And so there's no ego here. It doesn't, like, I have come to respect her songwriting. Like, she genuinely is a great songwriter. But my feeling for her as a person is more paternal. It's mm-hmm. like I just see her as like I don't know, like it's just like I care about her the way you would care about someone's child. Like it just she doesn't it there's something well that actually gets at what my revelation is.
Okay.
There's a quality about her that I have not been able to figure out, which is like, so she's this pop star, right? Mm. Who is crazy popular around the world. She sells out 96,000 person stadiums every night in the same city. You know, insane. And writes about relationships and sexual things even. She makes videos where she's supposed to be sexy, and yet there's always something about her that isn't sexy and is kind of, I want to say, dorky.
And that's how it's like me? Yes, you've made this point before that she's low. But she's kind of like, she's gawky and awkward, right?
She's gawky and awkward. There's a quality. So it's just been kind of noodling around in my head, this thing. Like, and I was watching some videos of her. She was at this fundraiser for Mahomes, who's the Mahomes. Why say Mahomes?
I don't know. It sounds like you're talking about your friend.
The quarterback for the Chiefs. And so she was there Travis Kelce.
What fundraiser? What's the story with him?
It was just, you know, football players have these fundraisers.
Not for him.
No. It was his.
Got it.
He was sponsoring it.
It was like a GoFundMe for Mahomes.
There's footage from it of her and Travis.
Oh, yes, where he's kissing her shoulder.
But there's a different shot.
That's the one you're talking about.
That's not the one. Okay. It's that same event.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But earlier, where he's like leading her around, and there's like this quality, this look on her face and everything, where I was like, it's just been like, for someone who can get up in front of 96,000 people and strut around with such confidence and such, like, she'll be alone in the middle of this stadium singing. Like, that's a crazy thing if you think about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and she's singing her songs that she wrote. You would expect a person like that to carry themselves a particular way.
Yeah.
But then when you see her off stage, she doesn't.
Mm.
And so there's this weird, like, thing. And I had this thought. I was like, I wonder if she's autistic. I was just like, because I was just thinking about that. It was just like a thought, because you're like, you know, there are all these things about her that are kind of like, yeah, she's sort of obsessive about her music and about certain things, and her relationships are always, and I'm just thinking about the lyrics and things. And so I did a search, and there's like, you know, when you do a Google search and
You're not the first person to think this is you're driving at?
You know how it'll populate as it didn't.
Oh, interesting.
But I was able to find some threads on autism subreddits where they were talking about it.
About her.
And so people who are in the autism community were talking about Taylor, and there were all these links to footage of her, and it's like she stims all the time.
Like,
and
how?
Especially when she was younger, she'll like flap her hands and she does.
Oh, really? Because flapping is like a classic stim.
Right. There's all this stuff that she's not.
We should explain what stimming is. I don't know what the actual definition is, but it's like, it stands for stimulation. It's like a self-soothing behavior.
It's a self-soothing behavior. Yeah. And like,
so it can be like fidgeting or hair.
She'll do things like she'll just constantly like rub her hair or she'll do these things with her hands. When she's like not on stage, there's all these signs of autism, especially when she was younger, when you see like earlier footage of her. And then once I started to see that, it's like everything about her sort of started to make sense.
Right.
Now there's certain things where you're like, well, that's not typical of kids. Like, usually people with autism will be overwhelmed by crowds. So for her to be like comfortable, but that could be part of her obsessive interest.
Well, question though.
Yeah.
And this is not exclusive to an autistic person. But it's common with performers. She might be comfortable on stage in that crowd, but I don't know if she's actually comfortable in a crowd.
Right.
It's different.
Yeah. Now, look, I don't know if she is or not, but to think of her in those terms, to think like this is a child, there's a lot. Like, there's just a lot of other things I'm not going to bore, but it's like to think, oh, she was a kid who had this like obsessive interest in music. She's got a few other obsessive interests like cats and stuff.
Number 13, right?
Yeah, and numbers and like symbols. And she like, she's all about like these, what do you call it? Like codes and things. Like she's got, and she's always putting that into like the Swiftie community is obsessed with trying to decode every photograph and everything. And at first I was seeing that. I'm like, these people are so fucking weird. But then I realized, I learned she actually does put that stuff in there. And you know, that's like, that's a funny thing to be really into symbols and codes and
like, what are the symbols and codes?
Oh, like clock. She'll hide like thing. I'm not. I can't go deep on that, like, because I don't know. I just see that, you know, Threads serves this shit up to me every time I log in. It's like, what the fuck are they even talking about? I think they were all expecting something to drop today because she. There were all these photographs of her like braid. She had her hair braided and tucked behind her. I mean, it's like crazy. The Swiftie community, honey, is insane. It's fucking the craziest fan base I've ever seen.
Crazy how?
Just there's a hugely positive aspect to it, which is great. But I think with any mob, with any group, there is a lot of dysfunction.
Oh,
so it's not particular to Swiftie, but it's like there's a lot of bullying. There's a lot of people who are like insisting that they know the right interpretation of a song, and then they'll yell at other people. I mean, there's a lot of drama. Her whole a big part of her new album is her expressing how angry she is at her own fan base. Like she's legitimately pissed that her fan base fucked up a relationship that was really meaningful to her. And then her lamenting the fact that because she has these fans, no one will ever love her, because whoever would want to, you know, there's a song, The Albatross, on the album where she's the albatross, because if you want to be with me, I'm the one that's going to fuck up your life because of my fans, you know?
I have something to say, but I don't want to interrupt you.
Oh, go ahead. It's fine.
Listener Sarah Ellis, who's also been a guest on the show, had a bone to pick with you about your dismissal of the middle of the album. Because is there a song called Black Dog?
I like Black Dog.
That's her favorite.
No, I wouldn't say the whole middle. No, Black Dog's a great song. I would, just to be, to the Swifties out there, I will tell you the songs that I would skip. They're not many. It's a great fucking album. I Can Fix Him. So, by the way, the first 10 songs are great. Mm-hmm. I would take out I Can Fix Him. No, really, I can. I would take that out. I don't like L-O-M-L, although that's a really personal song for her, so I guess.
What's it about?
So L-O-M-L is like, you would think love of my life, but it's actually loss of my life. And I think she's singing about the relationship with Joe Alwyn, I think. I don't know. But then the next song, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, is like probably the most Taylor Swift song that's ever been written.
What does that mean?
That's just, it's just so her. It's just like,
but what does that mean?
It's like, you know, I don't know. What is Taylor, like when you think of Taylor Swift, you think of her performing and
I think of her wearing
pop music,
glittery outfit.
Yeah.
Sequence.
Well, guess what? That's the fucking lyric in the song.
Okay.
She sings about her glittery outfits. Mm. See? Do you see what I mean?
I guess I do.
Okay. The Alchemy Could Go. I'm Not Crazy About Clara Bow. Love Black Dog. That's great. And then you get to a couple. The I'm Going to Get You Back Could Go. The Albatross Could Go.
I thought you just mentioned the Albatross is a good one.
No, it's interesting.
Okay.
But these aren't bad songs. They're just... I would tighten the album up. Mm. Put them on as B-sides. Do they have B-sides anymore?
No.
I kind of like Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Martin. Is that the name of the song?
Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Martin? What's it about?
I think it's
Kids
about her
daycare?
Last relationship.
Okay.
How Did It End Could Go. So High School Could Go. I Hate It Here Could Go. Thank You, Amy. I Don't Like.
But you don't think it's about Kim?
I don't think Thank
Kardashian,
You, Amy is
right?
about Kim Kardashian. I think it's about an older friend than that. I don't know enough about her bio, but it's not. I would put money on the fact that it's not about Kim Kardashian.
Molly McAleer posted on Threads that she thinks it's about Carly Kloss and Carly's sister, I think.
I would defer to Malls because she knows a hell of a lot more about this than I do. I look in people's windows. I wouldn't. But then the prophecy, Cassandra, Peter, the bolter, Robin can go, and manuscript are great. So that's how I feel about it.
I'm trying to think the last time I was this interested in
something you're not interested in.
No, that's not what I mean. I'm trying to think of the last time I was like a pro, you know, I was an English major. And so like approaching something in terms of like, it's a text that can be decoded and blah, blah, blah. I feel like it was like watching Severance or something.
I love that about art. One of the things I have thought about this as well. There's a lot, when I was talking about the dysfunction in the fan base, mm-hmm. there's like a lot of people arguing, getting very mad about the interpretation of like lyrics and songs and things. And I feel like, I think a lot of people just don't know how to experience art.
Oh, how to experience it or how to interpret it?
How to experience it. Like this idea that there is a correct interpretation is something that is like, people need to get past that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when Emily Fleming was on, we're talking about Twin Peaks, and she mentioned a video that she had watched because she's a fan of Twin Peaks. And there's this video and she was like, oh, I really liked it. And it's this guy who explains the meaning of Twin Peaks. And I knew of the video, but I didn't remember enough about it in the moment to know what my objection was to it. So I just sounded snotty.
I don't remember this, but okay.
I think she was like, well, I liked it. And I'm like, I couldn't tell you why I didn't like it because I didn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But then later I did remember. And the problem I had with that video and the reason I had like a violent reaction against it and why I will not watch it is because the guy's whole point is that he's going to tell you what it is about. He's like, I'm going to tell you what Twin Peaks is about. Now, here's the thing. You might be right, but that's not how you're supposed to appreciate art. I'm going to sound like such a pretentious ass, so I'm going to make this fast. When you encounter art, your reaction to it and your interpretation of the symbols is correct. The artist, whatever the artist intends is interesting and part of it, but art doesn't exist one-sided. It's not a one-sided conversation.
That's like a really fundamental theory of interpreting literature, death of the author, that what the author intends is neither here nor there.
Well,
and oftentimes they don't even know what it means. Like what it means. It's really about how... I disagree with you that it's entirely...
No. I'm not saying that the author's intention or the artist's intention isn't relevant or part of it.
But
I'm
they don't get to decide side. What it means.
That's one side of a conversation that's being had.
Right.
You can't have... Art doesn't exist without the viewer.
Right.
It's like you need the viewer to answer the questions, to have a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So you can intend something as an artist. You can paint something to I'm going to like try to say this, but if the person seeing it has a different intention or a different experience of it or a different feeling or whatever, that isn't invalid and that isn't an incorrect interpretation. The artist may have done something unintentional or whatever. The fact that let's bring it back to Taylor Swift, because I won't get into Twin Peaks. Let's just say that fucking video is bullshit. Avoid it. It'll rob you of your personal relationship with the art, which is the point of art. You need to have your personal relationship with it. So it needs to be interpreted through your experience and your feelings, not some YouTuber's fucking thoughts and feelings. Anyway,
but
Taylor deliberately puts symbols, and she has some things are very explicit and obvious, and then some things are not. And she doesn't do that by accident. She's not putting those symbols in there because she wants you to sit there like it's the Da Vinci Code and fucking solve it. She makes it abstract so that there's room for you to make it yours so that you can think of your experiences and your relationships and make it personal to you so that the song can have something to do with you. Otherwise, if you just lay it bare, then it's like it's reading a biography of Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what art is. Art is meant to be something that you have a personal that affects you, that you can make relevant to you and your experience in your life. So this over obsession with like decoding everything, I think is like, I don't know. It's not a good way. I just say it's not a good way to experience art.
I understand what you're saying. I obviously don't have the Taylor Swift background to be able to weigh in specifically as relates to Taylor. But I just take a slight issue with something you said, which is...
Here we go.
That the viewer's interpretation, like, that's correct. I don't know that it always is, because if so, then what's the point of studying all these things in school and talking about what it actually means? Like, I think... Well, here's the thing. I think you could say this symbol in this book means this, and maybe it's an unconventional reading of it, but if you can back it up, then that would be okay. But I don't think you can say, like, it reminds me of my Nana, so therefore that's what it means. Like, that's what it means to you.
So if an artist is using symbols that are only decodable through an academic, some sort of academic, someone telling you what that symbol mm-hmm. means, then in my opinion, this is just my opinion, it is not... I don't think it's good. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's as good. I don't think the art...
But I feel like the artist is being... works that were written years ago, you might need an academic lens to understand them.
For things that are old, where a person might have approached that painting, let's say, at the time and understood something fundamentally about it that we wouldn't because times have changed. That's different. But, you know, like still lives from hundreds of years ago, they often would use symbols like, you know, a bubble or flowers or fruit to represent mortality.
Right.
And a teacher could tell you this represents mortality, but I would argue that if you sat there and stared at the painting, the potency and the effectiveness of those symbols is that you don't need somebody to tell you what that means.
Right.
And to me, it's like when you see a piece of art, if you're thinking that there is a correct... All right. I apologize for being all over the place.
Yes.
Here.
Thank you. I'm joking.
If you are approaching art thinking that you can only appreciate this art if you have been given the scholarly materials, the instructions or the manuscript to help you understand what this art is, then you're never going to be able to really appreciate the art the way artists want you to appreciate their art. Artists are not making paintings thinking like, okay, yes, this will be good when the art historians explain this to the viewer.
I think it's both. I think you can have your visceral reaction to it or just your personal reaction to it. And then upon, this is how it has always been for me, upon soaking up various interpretations and the discussion around it, then it deepens. That's the
ideal.
Yes,
you could deepen it afterwards, but I guess... Okay. What I'm saying is this. I think a lot of people don't allow themselves to have their honest feelings and interpretations of art because they don't think that they have enough knowledge to be able to do that.
Right.
And if you look at a painting...
I don't encounter people who aren't aware. I would love to find someone who doesn't know what they don't know. It feels like everyone feels like they know everything, but I get your vibe.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
So when somebody sees... If you see a piece of art or you listen to a piece of music and it makes you feel a particular way and it evokes certain thoughts and it brings forth certain thought, memories or whatever. What I'm saying is that's correct.
Sure.
Your feelings are correct. Now, if you want to go and see what the artist intended, well, that may either deepen it or it may fuck it up, because you may find out that actually it was about this other thing entirely, and then your experience of it can't be what it was anymore, because now you know, oh, that's not what the artist meant. The artist meant it's like about Vietnam, and I thought, you know, I was having all these, I was associating it with this other thing. And so what I'm saying is, don't be intimidated by art because you think that you don't have the knowledge and the, like with Taylor Swift, just to bring it to something, I don't know the fucking lore of her fucking life. I don't know anything about her relationships and things. And so when people are like, oh yeah, this song's great because it's referencing this song from like three albums ago, like, I don't think Taylor wants you to think about her music that way.
Right.
I don't think she's sitting there writing these songs thinking like, this is really the proper way to experience this song is if you have really absorbed all the material from like five albums ago.
Right.
You know, and you know about my relationship with Carly Kloss. Like, that's not what she's doing.
Okay. Let's talk about a piece of art that is one of my threads. Now, I said, as Daniel Quantz awoke, excuse me, as at Daniel Quantz awoke one morning from uneasy dreams, he found himself transformed in his bed into a gigantic Taylor Swift fan. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is a reference to?
The Metamorphosis.
Did I tell you that?
Well, but I knew.
You knew. Okay, yeah. Yes. Now, that is a twee pretentious post.
Which is how I'm sounding right now, is
and
twee and pretentious.
I wondered. It didn't do great numbers, you know,
yeah.
But I wondered, should I make it clear this is from The Metamorphosis, or should I just, if you get it, you get it? Because I think if you don't get the reference, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, it makes sense,
but this is also a tweet. Like, who cares?
The brilliance of the thread is not fully soaked up if you don't understand what I'm doing with it.
Yeah.
Two more critical theory things. I don't know if a critical theory, but okay. So a critic I know wrote about how the popularity of Interview with a Vampire and vampires at the time that happened had to do with that it wasn't a coincidence that was around the time of the AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
Have we talked about this?
I don't know.
Or do you know this interpretation?
I agree with that. I agree with that.
That like when everyone was so focused on blood.
Right.
And
it was, and it's got some very strong homosexual overtones.
Okay. That, and then also like the popularity of Eli Roth and torture porn and all that, he tied that to Abu Ghraib.
Oh, interesting.
And okay. I don't know if the authors intended those things, because I have never read Anne Rice and I cannot stomach torture porn, horror movies that are like that. But I think whether those are intended or not, he was doing his job as a critic in terms of like taking a piece of art and grounding it in its specific historical moment. Do you agree with that?
I do. And I think the artist doesn't always know what their intent. Like an artist
right.
can sit there and say, "I'm making this about like the O.J. Simpson scandal," mm-hmm. and then you think this—that's what this is about. And if someone were to read that, they would think this is just about that. Who cares?
Right.
But if you didn't know that, or if you knew that but gave yourself permission to have your own interpretation of the work, then you might find that even for the artist, it was about something more than that. Artists aren't always aware of what they're doing.
Right, right. Right. It's rare. I did know what I was doing with that, you know, post,
yeah.
that thread.
Yeah.
But I don't always. Sometimes I'm just a mere vessel.
And sometimes symbols aren't meant to have a meaning that you could put into words. Mm-hmm. Art, at its best, will point you past the intellectual to something deeper that can't be expressed with words. That's why we have art in many cases. So it's like, I think And also, we have this idea that art's really stuffy and it's for like intellectual types and right. you really need to.
This conversation like, of it is, but it's not always.
No, I'm sorry. I'm such
it's okay.
I get really annoying when I talk about art, I guess.
That's
but it's
true.
Like, but I think that people need to realize that artists generally are, they're human beings who are horny and funny and full of passion and sloppy feelings, and they're messy, and their art is not meant, for the most part, art is not meant to be approached as intellectual or stuffy. And so everyone listening, if you just go to a museum, the most stuffy museum in the fucking country, and you look at the oldest, most stuffy paintings on the walls, if something makes you laugh or something seems horny or weird, I'll give you an example. When we went to the museum, just what was it in
Musée d'Orsay?
Yeah, where all the impressionists
in Paris.
I had always thought of Degas' ballerinas as being like, I guess I'd never really spent time with the ballerina paintings or anything. And I always just thought, oh, he's just this guy who was painting beautiful ballerinas, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But seeing them in person, I was like, that's not the feeling I'm getting. I'm, you know, everyone thinks of impressionism as being decorative and beautiful, but
right.
like, and they're ballerinas, so you think, yeah, so beautiful ballerinas, but like, I don't know, there was something. And then there is something
grotesque about them, right?
Well, there's a statue that he had made of a ballerina, and I was just staring at it. I'm like, this is grotesque. There's something about this that I'm not getting at all. Mm-hmm. The feeling that this is like beautiful, like her, there's something about her face and about the materials that he's using and stuff, and I'm like, I felt uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's just stop it right there. That reaction is not incorrect,
right?
Regardless of what I found out later. But as it turns out, I was doing some research on it because it was like stuck in my head. And at the time, women who would go into dance were often also prostitutes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Degas was disgusted by them.
Oh, he was like a misogynist.
Yes. So if you have a feeling about a piece of art, even though you think it's supposed to be this thing over here, if your feeling is different from that, don't think that it has to be what you think it's supposed to be. Your feeling is right.
Yeah.
Even if he thought he was doing these beautiful, his feelings about them came through in the art.
Right.
In my opinion.
That's actually that is actually fascinating.
Thank you. Tony, make this interesting.
Yeah, Tony.
Clean up. Make me not sound unhinged.
Yeah. And just I feel like my performance was fairly solid overall, but you know, if you need to like add some buttery tones and you know, more mids, that's real studio talk. At least it was 25 years ago. Listen, Daniel.
I apologize to everyone.
I think it's that time where we got to wrap it up. We still have a lot of calls, but we can always use more. 323-553-2331. And I just want to say, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for all the support on Patreon,
All
the support on Substack. I just was exchanging notes. Someone just subscribed to my Substack at the paid level and said that my story like resonated with him, and he's working on this project. And I asked, oh, what project? And hit some background. I just glanced at it, so I haven't fully read it, but I think that he worked on a podcast that starred. Are you sitting down?
I'm ready.
Mandy Patinkin.
Oh my God.
We're getting so close to Mandy. We're Patinkinators.
Patinkinators, we are.
We love him. Anyway, so listen, ads, could they be thinner? I don't know. Although it does seem there, I don't want to jinx it, but there might be a couple sponsors on the horizon. But anyway, you know, ads have been thin, and you guys, your direct support means the world to this podcast right now. So thank you so much. If you are able to support, if you like the podcast and you're able to support, or if you hate it and you're able, or if you like it and you're not able, you know, do you. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen. Daniel, where do mm-hmm. we find you?
They don't want to find me.
I wouldn't either. Listen, everyone, thank you so much for listening. I love you. You matter. Goodbye.
Hey, do you know about the Allison Rosen Show? We had a good time, but now we gotta go. Yeah, Allison Rosen, here's your new best friend.